You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
First, God solidifies the fact that Abraham is going to sire a child. Then he becomes specific and says where the child is coming through, and obviously it would be his wife. Are you with me? So God makes the promise to Abraham using Sarai as the vessel. She has nothing to do with the promise. She is the vessel through whom the promise will be fulfilled. We let too many people speak into our lives and nullify our promise, even though they may be a participant in the fulfillment of the promise. They should not become Sarai to us. Oh, I wish I had somebody that could hear me. God cannot lie. Now watch what he does. In Genesis 17, 15 through 22, here's what it says. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. So there are people in your life whom God has designated to be the individual to help you fulfill your promise. But you are never to allow them to abort your promise, nor substitute it with something not promised. Oh, I wish I had somebody that could hear me. God help me. Notice what God does in verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou wilt not call her name Sarai, but her name will be Sarah. Notice what God does. He begins to move Abraham closer to his fulfillment. And he identifies how the promise has been weakened by the name of his wife. Her name Sarai means to control, to govern, to rule by superior authority, power, and domination. And that is exactly what she did when she convinced him to go into Hagar. God said, in order for me to give her this child, I need to change her name from dominating woman to Sarah, which means lady, queen, support. Lord, help me. You got folks in your life that are dominating you and keeping you from your place in God. You need to get the Sarai's out of your life and get yourself a Sarah. Somebody who knows how to surrender, to submit to the leadership of her husband and say, honey, I don't see how this is going to happen, but if you said God is going to do it, then we just going to watch him do it and have fun working with him. Not somebody who's going to tell you that if Pastor Lambert isn't using you, go start your own church. That person is a Sarai. If you know that God has not told you to go, don't you go where somebody's or if some Sarai is sending you. You need a Sarah that will say, wait on the Lord. Man told me that was sitting in this ministry, being blessed of the Lord. He was in his place. God was honoring his place. But one day he decided he needed to pastor. And I don't fight with anybody. So he left to go pastor, and nothing came of it. Pride keeps him from coming back. So he says the Lord has him doing so and so. Listen to me carefully. When you leave your place and you find it doesn't work, you've got to go back to where you left and make it right all over again. If you notice in the book of Genesis, everywhere Abraham stopped, he built an altar. Why? Because he had a place to return in case something did not work. Pride will tell us, keep going. Don't go back and humble yourself. But even the prodigal son went back home. You cannot expect the fullness of God in your life until you go back to the place where you left him. Got too many bossy people in your life. It means her name, that name Sarai means to exert force or authority. The Bible doesn't give us the emotion of the statement, but she says, go in to Hagar. And when you read it, it looks nice. Like she said, you know, honey, I can't give you this baby because there's something wrong with me. And, you know, there are no OBGYNs and, you know, there's no fertilization clinics. So go on in there and be with Hagar. I seen you looking at her. I seen you looking at her every time she leads worship. I seen you looking at her. And so go on and be with her. And the Bible said, Abraham went. Now see, Abraham should have been in the man's class. Because he would have learned, if he had the right training, he would have turned around and said, now honey, you know good and well, I ain't going over there. I thank you for suggesting, but we just gonna wait on God, baby, because I know what's gonna happen. And sure enough, it did. Hagar came out of the tent after spending time with Abraham, and Sarai looked at her, and the Bible says she despised her. She had my man. She was kissing my man's neck. She was touching his hot spots. She was holding his hand. She was rubbing his back. That's my back. That's my man. You don't be touching my man. And Abraham, well, you sent me to her. Well, you wasn't supposed to go. Brothers, you know there are certain things wives say that you know you ain't supposed to do. She just saying it. That's right. You can mess up the dishes. Just leave them in the sink. Oh, okay. You know good and well. That's just marriage. You single people don't even have to worry about this. Y'all just get on a boat and go down to Cancun. Yep. Marriage is difficult. She told him to go lay with somebody else. Ain't no modern woman going to tell you. They'll tell you if you think about it, you're going to find out if Jesus is real. That's if I catch you talking to her, she could be way in the back of the church and you down here, well, praise the Lord. God bless you, sis. Then when you get into the car, hi, babe, wasn't that a great service? Mm-hmm. It was great for you, wasn't it? Well, what'd I do? You know what you did. You know what you did. You know what you did. You never find out what you did. You know what you did. What'd I do? You know what you did. Now, let's just bind the devil. Ain't no devil to bind. I saw you. What did I do? You know what you did. But this woman said, go on down there. And the way the definition of her name suggests, she forced him. It almost suggests that he probably thought, no, babe, I don't want to do it. Go on down there. Tired of hearing about this promise. You know ain't no promise coming. I don't have any more fertilization. Go on down there with that woman. You know her. Go on. And he goes in and sleeps with her. But God said, I can't lie. Now watch this. This is how the enemy likes to play us. And this is where we in Pentecostal Christianity have created the permissive will of God. Ishmael was of Abraham's body. So, on the surface, it would appear that the promise is filled. It's of his body. God said, I'm going to bless the child that comes out your body. So Ishmael came out his body. So that should have satisfied it. No. Sarai is now dominating Hagar. She pushes Abraham again. He's weak. I know when we had our Genesis lesson for January, one of the ladies, bless her heart, she said, we were talking about things that we observed in the book. She said, I never saw so much dysfunction in my life. And I thought, isn't that neat? Dysfunctional families are not a 21st century phenomenon. It goes way back to Genesis. Abraham was whipped all the way back in Genesis. Go into that woman. Okay, baby. Adam was whipped. Take this. Okay, baby. Instead of, no, we ain't eating that fruit. Stop it. Gosh. And it's still going on. I can look some of the brothers right now, sitting next to their wives. I ain't say nothing. That's Bishop Lambert. I ain't say nothing. I don't feel that way. I eat whatever fruit you bring me.
I don't know if we had any first-time visitors, but God bless you.
Her name means to enjoy a commanding or controlling position. That suggests that she's been running this thing ever since. This is identified when the Lord comes down with the two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He stops off at Abraham's house, and he starts rapping with Abraham about what he was going to do. He says, how can I destroy this place unless I talk to Abraham? So he stops and talks to Abraham. And then in the course of the conversation, as we're getting closer to the time when Isaac is to be born, he says, where's your wife? And Abraham's like, she in the tent. Because she wasn't supposed to be in the tent with the men. She was supposed to be in the other tent. But somehow she had snuck out and stood at the tent of her husband. And she heard the Lord tell Abraham, about this time next year, your wife's going to have a child. She said, pfft. Here we go, another man telling another lie. And she didn't know who it was because he turns to Abraham. Watch, he didn't say anything to her. He says, why did Sarah laugh? As if Abraham was supposed to know. Man, you ain't handling your business. Why did she laugh? And then she spoke out, which identifies that she was at the wrong place. She said, I didn't laugh. He turned and said, yeah, you did. You did laugh. But I ain't paying no attention to you because I'm going to bring this to pass because I said it. Now, I'm going to show you something about God that you must master. When he says something, he's going to do it. He cannot lie. In Genesis 21, watch this. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare, Isaac, which means laughter. You see, God? She laughed in disbelief. But the name of the boy is laughter. He said, I'm going to turn your mourning into laughter. The devil doesn't want you to laugh. And if you get a promise from God every time something negative comes, you ought to go to laughing. Because your Isaac is soon to come. In fact, when the enemy tempts you to go into Hagar, it's because he knows your Isaac is soon to come, and he's trying to get your attention off of your Isaac and put it on Hagar. When are we going to wake up and understand that the intensity of the trial is representative of the fact that God's about to do something? Jesus had to leave his home because Herod was going to kill him, and God had to cloister him over in Egypt, but he came back with power. Don't feel bad that you have to take a strategic withdrawal. Take that time to regroup. Get your prayer life strong. Get familiar with the promise. Get closer to God. So when you come back, God can change your name and surround you with visionaries who will no longer look at your limitations, but see the power of the risen Christ. My God. Come on, Bethel. But notice the specificity of God. It said Abraham was, verse 5, he was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Listen to this. And now her name is Sarah. She's changed. She's been humbled. Say, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. In other words, people were saying that I'm not going to have any children. But God has made me to laugh. And now everybody's going to laugh with me. That means people who said you would not make it are now going to have to repent when they see you rise to the top. My philosophy is the best form of vengeance is success. So when people say that God is not with you, you let them say what they want and you just go to laughing. Because the day will come that God cannot lie. He will bring what he said to pass. So you need to keep your praise going. You need to keep your worship strong. You need to keep your vision locked in on the promise. Because the promise is victory. The promise is never defeat. Amen. Glory to God. I am so convinced from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet that when man reaches his extremity, that means it's now time for God's opportunity. In studying more about God, I've learned something about him. He delights in taking situations that have been told that we will never rise from. God likes to hear the term non-curable disease. God enjoys hearing you're going to lose your house. God enjoys hearing the devil rise to the surface in your understanding. Then the Holy Spirit will bring back the promise. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague come nigh your dwelling. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. My God. Watch this. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Paul says in the book of Romans that all of creation is in travail. What is it doing? Waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. What are they doing? They're waiting for us to prove to them that God is. They've heard about a healing God. God wants to heal us. They've heard about a holy God. God wants us to live holy. They've heard about a God who will multiply fishes and loaves. We've got to give him that opportunity. I've got to believe God and wait on my Isaac. You might not see it right now. All the signs point to you not having him, but wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Glory! Give somebody a high five. Now watch. 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 Here's what we will do. Back to Genesis 17, here's what we will do. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt no longer call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Glory to God. God's going to make you a queen, lady. You hear me? Y'all better get this together. Society has told you are never going to amount to anything because of your lineage. Oh, my ancestors may have come off of a boat, but I'm going to ride out of here on a cloud. I might have come over here in chains, but now I'm going out full of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to bind me and keep me in your little ritual. I am now a king. You are now a queen. I am somebody to watch out for. I'm so blessed that it'll rub off on you even if you don't want it to rub off. I am so anointed that you can be delivered even if I ain't paying you no mind. The Bible says that Elisha was in a cave. He was dead and wrapped up in his grave clothes. They threw a soldier in that cave, and when that soldier's dead body touched the body of Elisha, the Bible said it came back to life. There ought to be enough anointing in you because of the promise that when you sit next to a dead Christian, they begin to praise God. There ought to be enough power in you that when you walk down the street, demons run from you because you are the person that God has made a promise to. Tell somebody, I have a promise. Hey! There is a noise that precedes deliverance. God told us about it on two separate occasions. Although the scriptures have more, these two resonate in my mind. There is the noise at the wall of the city of Jericho. There is the noise that came after they were silent for seven circuits. There is a noise that comes when you say, I've taken all I can take from the devil and I ain't taking no more. There's a noise that comes that tears down the walls of oppression, bondage, and Satan worship. There is a noise that releases the power of God. But then in the book of Acts, it tells us there were 120 people in an upper room, and there was a noise. This was not the noise to cast down a wall, but this was a noise to tap you into the anointing. With this noise, you can walk on clouds. With this noise, you can cast out devils. With this noise, you can lay hands on the sick, because that noise brought the Holy Ghost. Let me hear the noise.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Isaac or Ishmael. Make your choice.
Or the program number,
02219A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher Daily Telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
All ministers and aspiring ministers are invited to the Making of a Minister training session with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. He'll be joined by his co-host, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon of Tabernacle Harvest Church of Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Come and join the pastors as they share from their 45 years of combined experience. This special session will equip you with the tools and knowledge for effectively crafting your sermons in order to rightly divide the Word of God. You won't want to miss this important time of training and development. It's happening Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Admission is free, but you must call to register at 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org. We look forward to seeing you there.